My name's Nicole and I'm an addict.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I'm nervous. I'm so fucking nervous. But before I share, can we take a moment of silence for the addict suffering out there that won't make it and the one that's suffering in here? So can we have that moment now, please? Thank you. So I'm from California, delayed flights, all that fun stuff to get here, but it's an honor and privilege to be a service. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity because my head already tells me that I have nothing to share. Like my head already tells me that I'm gonna come very conflicted, negative, and that you're judging me and nobody judges me worse than myself. So, I'm gonna keep coming back, right? And like desperation and passion, it talked about in, because we all have the same topic, and I know we're gonna all bring a different type of flavor, but like for me, desperation, the desperation to get one more was greater than being with my children. Like the desperation to continue on autopilot unwillingly through alleys on Skid Row was greater than going home. Like that's the type of desperation I had. I don't know how your disease works, but my disease works in a form of convincing me to use while I'm pregnant, to get into extracurricular activities that send me to prison, that take me over the border and then come back and then go back again and wait for like different other people to come and get me. Like that's the way my disease works. My disease takes me from me and then ultimately takes me from everybody around me. And I want what I want when I want it and a minimal concern of whose life I destroy, especially my own. And so like when I think of the desperation, I can only imagine at the time when my mom kept filing missing persons reports because of desperation and wanting to know if I was alive. Or waiting for a death notification so she can break the news to my kids. One thing I don't do today is steal that woman's serenity. I may have never stolen materials from her, but I was still a thief because I took her peace of mind. And I don't do that today. So like when I look back of when I first got clean, like I was an angry bitch. I cuss a lot, so if that bothers you, call your sponsor. Like, you know, I'm gonna be honest up here. I'm a work in progress and I'm still a crazy motherfucker. Like, I can remember being super angry. I didn't mess with females. My first sponsor was a male. Like, I didn't trust any of the female because they were all clicky and everybody talks shit about everybody else. And that's not my get down. If I have a problem with you, I'm just gonna go straight to you and tell you myself. And so like I struggled a lot in the beginning of my recovery because I didn't believe in clicking up. Like I gang banged on the streets when I was getting loaded. I didn't come into Narcotics Anonymous where we're supposed to have the tradition of unity, a principle of unity, where it doesn't matter your rage, sex, identity, your creed, where the fuck you got, like it doesn't matter. I didn't come up in here to gang bang. I came up here to get some freedom. So like when I seen that stuff around here, it really was repelling for me. And in the first 9 months of my actual clean time, like I can remember sitting on the back patio of the Alano Club where my home group is, and I did what they suggested. I asked women in recovery and they just said, you're too much. And in all fairness, I wouldn't sit with people. I wouldn't talk to you. I didn't let people hug me. And I was angry. And so like, I could understand and see why they would say that, but I needed help. I was desperate. I was in that desperation of not using. I just didn't know how that was gonna be possible. And I remember my sponsor at the time, well, he was my sponsor, came up and he was like, are you ready to get to work? And I just remember looking at him like, who the fuck are you? Like, don't tell me what to do. I don't even know you. And he was like, do you want to live or do you want to die? And I remember that passion igniting, like, yeah, I want to live. And I'm forever grateful for that man because he was the only person that invested the time in my recovery without ulterior motives so I wouldn't die. And so I got to work on the step work. And, you know, thank you for sharing, Barry, your experience, strength, and hope. I thank you for that. You know, thank you to the predecessors. Thank you to the newcomers. Welcome home. And thank you to the in-betweeners. Man, if you're here just being a tourist to recovery, you might want to ask yourself, what are you passionate about? Because I'm not a tourist to recovery. My life depends on this shit. And I can just remember, like, getting into the step work and, like, the more I dug, the more I was uncomfortable. And the more I was uncomfortable, I began to realize that if I wanted to heal around here, I needed to continue doing the work. And if I wasn't passionate, I was passionate about going and get one. Like, you know, I have sponsors today, and I don't know why they keep asking me, but they keep asking me. And I can remember, like, you know, finally talking to them. And I used to have a really good friend that was around, may she rest in peace, and she used to say, you know, if the dope man suggested for you to go up the block, three buildings down, up three flights of stairs, not to the green door, but to the red door, stick your finger in a hole, move your fingers to the left, to the right, put them down and pull the sack up, you would listen. But taking simple directions from a sponsor who's already lived the experience, that's too hard. That's too much work. And that really stuck with me because it told me if I could have passion to tie off, to get ready to put one in me, to go steal a car, to one more time disappoint my children, to one more time rob somebody else, but I didn't have passion to get into the literature or reach my hand out to a newcomer. Man, my priorities are twisted. And so, like, I'm going to read something as well, because I love the Living Clean book. As you can see, my shit's about to fall apart. But, you know, I'm passionate about my recovery. It's vital. It's necessary. It's necessary to me like food and water is to living. And this is what's necessary to my spirit. If I don't keep feeding my spirit and with that passion and with that fire and desire that I want to live no matter what, even when I feel like I don't have enough strength to go on, then I better get to work. And it's not what I say that while I'm up here, because anybody can get up here and share like Shakespeare, but it's what I do when I think nobody's looking at me. Mm-hmm. Passion is a lot like desperation. It is motivating, energizing force that can propel us forward. But passion is rarely bestowed on us. It comes from within. The more we draw on our passion, the more of it we have. Making the shift from desperation to passion is a first step issue. Our journey is always beginning, and our capacity and our need for spiritual growth is infinite. And the definition of infinite is endless. I have an endless need to broaden the base to get to the higher place of freedom. And it's in our symbol. And I'm very clear on that. So like after I got clean and I got to this step work and I started doing these steps and I understand like step one is about powerlessness and unmanageability. But the hit is people miss the word were. I am not as powerless because I tapped into something greater than myself. Like my God didn't forget about me, I forgot about my God. There was a separation that I had some unresolved issues, a bad case of behavior, and a fractured personality. And it was everybody else's fault. See, even almost 9 years later, I can tell you confidently, it doesn't matter the clean time that you have, everybody still gets loaded every day. And what I mean by that is you get loaded on your behaviors, because I know I do. Whether I said it, thought it, or did it, I got loaded on it. So when somebody cuts you off on the freeway, or gives you a dirty look, or says a nasty remark, I'm going to get loaded on a behavior, because you know I'm already thinking I'd like to slap the shit out of that person. And that obsessive compulsiveness in me, I get loaded on shopping for shoes, man.
Amen, sister.
Speak to it.
I do. 57 pairs later, and I'm still looking for that one pair.
Right. Yeah.
Abe, don't be judging me, man. Don't be judging me.
I'm a part of that committee.
She's the president.
Right. But at, like, I get to see these things today. Like, I get to see how my disease manifests itself. And I get to acknowledge it and accept it. Because I can either stay in the problem or live in the solution. And living in the solution doesn't mean I'm going to do it perfectly. I have done nothing perfectly except not pick up the substance, the behavior. I pick it up every now and then, all the time. And like when I reflect on that, you know, I remember when I first got diagnosed with cancer, I was thinking like, man, I didn't have any issues when I was using dope. Now all of a sudden I got health issues. And I remember not being angry about it. I was like, okay, let's do this. But after so many times of going through radiation and chemo and losing my hair and continuous, like, you're in remission, you're not in remission, until at some point I had two major surgeries and, you know, that's it, it's a wrap, you know. Each time the doctor has told me that I'm not going to live past a certain day, my God has made it fit to make sure I did, to be right where I am today with you guys. Because at the end of the day, the intimacy and the relationship that I've developed with the God of my understanding surpasses anything that I've ever experienced in my life. And that has allowed me to be more passionate about Narcotics Anonymous. It's allowed me to be more passionate about the people I encounter on a daily basis, whether I like you or not. Because the reality of it is, I don't have to like everybody, but I need to respect them. I don't have to fuck with everybody, because I keep my circle small. And that's okay. That works for me. It's not a popularity contest. It says it in the first step. Social acceptability does not equal recovery. So if you're in here to get an award, I'm sorry to bust your bubble. The only award you'll get is the jackass one. You know, and like, I'm just going to say this, because it's just a thing with me.
I had two cuts.
Let the newcomer get on their feet before you put them on their back.
Yeah, say it louder. Say it louder.
Okay. Whether you're a male or female with time, let the newcomer get on their feet before you put them on their fucking back. Because you are just as much as the disease as the one that's festering in them. We carry a message of hope. So when we're praying on the newcomer, and I say praying, the message gets diluted. And then it becomes an infectious disease spread. And then that's the pivotal factor of somebody going back out and dying. You know, I talked about my cancer, right? And so, like, I can remember my passion for recovery begin to decline. And my meeting attendance went down. In all fairness, I was very sick, so I couldn't even walk. And I remember being so desperate to get to a meeting, and the very women that I couldn't stand in the beginning are the very ones that picked me up for the meeting. And when I talk about humility, the very women that I didn't want to fuck with are the ones that physically picked me up and carried me into the meeting and into the bathroom and helped me get dressed. So I learned a valuable lesson at a little over 3 years clean, that I can either practice humility or be humiliated. Because I get choices today, and my God lets me know real quick, go ahead and keep acting like you got it all together. I'm going to expose you one way or another. Right? And I'm grateful for that experience. Because it's the experience and the journey that continues to allow us to grow around here. And so as I continued to go through this chemo, and then I finally started to hit some meetings again, you know, people were asking me what's my new clean date, and when did I relapse? And I'm a little bit of a smart ass. So, just a little bit. I remember telling them I'm on a great new diet. It's called chemotherapy. My clean date's the same. Did yours change? And, of course, that didn't go very well with my sponsor, so I got a writing assignment. But in my head, it was worth it. It was very worth it. Because I yelled that out in the middle of a meeting. Yeah. So, but you know what? Like, I own it. That was unnecessary, right? But the beautiful part about it is it got me engaged back in my home group, right? So even as sick as hell as I was, I showed up and didn't get loaded in between. I had options to take certain pain meds. And I'm not knocking anybody that does. If you need it, you need it. Just check your motives on what you're doing with it. I personally chose not to. And in spite of, still would go. And in spite of myself, still would try to work on myself. Because I know I don't want to die. I might die with the disease of addiction, but I'll be goddamn if I die from it. And, you know, one of my no matter what's, and it, like, this has reaffirmed my step three on, like, turning my will, like, over to the care of God, right? And when I think about turning my will over, I give something to God, and I'm like, hold on, don't trip. You're doing it wrong. Let me take it back a little bit. Or I give it to God, and I take it back a piece at a time. Because don't you know I could do it better? And that desperation for wanting control, right? When the illusion is I never had control, my life becomes unmanageable once again. And I don't know about you, but my disease takes me hostage every time. And I'll isolate, I won't call anybody. I'm very good at being a ghost. And it's not until I'm in that significant pain, back at that desperation, where I remember what it's like to have that fire ignited. So, like, newcomer, if you're new here, when you read the literature, it comes to life. When you live it, you start to breathe again. I existed for a long time in alleys, shooting up, my drug of choice is more. Like, That was my existence. When I got clean, Narcotics Anonymous introduced me back to my God. And what that happened is it introduced me back to myself. I might not like myself every day, but I like me way more than I used to. And I'm actually pretty fucking rad. I snowboard. I like snowboarding. You know, we rediscover who we are, and I can be my authentic self. And I've learned to have boundaries and have no remorse about it. As long as I'm respectful to other people. There's my business, your business, and none of my damn business, and I'm okay with that. I really am. And I love how I'm able to apply recovery in all areas of my life. Even when I don't want to. Even when it's an inconvenient service work of answering the phone in the middle of the night for a sponsee. And I say inconvenient service work not because it is so much of an inconvenience. It just happens to be an inconvenience of me because don't you know I need my beauty rest? Yeah, right. Forgetting real quick of how I got here. So it's been in the last couple of years that I've really, really cracked down as I'm doing the step work again and looking at it, that you know what, you can get years around here, you can get decades, but if you forget how to have fucking days, I have empathy for you. Because it'll only be a matter of time when obsession and opportunity meet at the same corner and you use something, whatever that might be. So this year, my son's death anniversaries, it'll be 2 years since he passed. And, you know, I talk about not stealing my mother's serenity anymore and now being on the other side of it. And my son overdosed. And I couldn't help him. I couldn't help him. And I have a lot of shame about that because the very thing that I live and that I've, you know, done the best to live by example, I couldn't help the closest person to me. And that was a really rough no matter what. And I'm not gonna tell you I didn't try to get loaded because I'd be lying to you. I sure the fuck did. I called the Connect. I went to Walgreens, I got the rigs, I got Fiji water, I didn't get gutter water. Because I was going to be fancy. And the Connect that I know from the old block called me up and said, yeah, I'm not letting you do that, and blocked me. So my tangible evidence that a God is working in my life was that. And then the other tangible evidence was sponsees breaking in my house after I locked them out. Because I wanted to get loaded. I wanted something to take away the pain. But nowhere in the literature does it say that we are exceeded from pain. It's what we do with the pain. I can either be bitter or get better. But when I'm trying to outthink the very thing that operates in my thinking, did you catch that? When I try to outthink the very thing that operates in my thinking, which is my disease, because my disease sits and does step work with me, it reads with me, it prays with me, it goes and is a service with me. My disease never leaves me, and it's not somewhere in a fucking corner doing push-ups. It's right there with me like, oh yeah, you did a great job today. Wait until tomorrow. And so like things like that, it comes very prevalent of how insidious this disease works. If I got a disease that's spiritual in nature, that means I need a spiritual solution. And the situation with my son where I wanted to use and that passion was more greater than the desperation. My passion to live when I had somebody knocking on the door. When the reality check of a Connect blocking me. That was nothing that I did and everything that my higher power did. And still being present and still working and being present for my other children and graduating college and stuff like that in the midst of all this. And it's not because I'm a great person, it's because the tools that Narcotics Anonymous has given me and the principles, I live by them no matter what. And those no matter what's, if you haven't experienced them, get ready, they're coming. Don't worry. You'll experience it. And that's why step 11 is so important, at least for this addict, and having that passion, with or without health, with or without a job, with or without a car, and with or without a partner. Because I've had it all happen to me. I've been homeless in recovery. I've been without a job. I've lost a child. At this point, the only thing, I don't know, I'm not going to ask God for anything else, because I have some yets I don't even know about. To my knowledge, there are a few yets, but obviously there's some yets I don't even know about. Because I know I have another run in me, I just don't have another recovery. But I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay, if we take a 10-minute... Will you promise to come back? It's important. We only got one more. No. I was told by the higher ups. No. So, in case you have to go to the restroom, though, if you go out that door and turn left, it'll take you there. So we're onward and upward for the last speaker of the night. It's a good friend of mine, Sarah M. from Oregon. Come on up, honey.
I do it every time.